As we look into this message today on Stronger, we pray, Lord God, that the eyes of our heart would absolutely be flooded with light. For we know that in your light we will see more light. Lord, we know that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now I believe it's time for us to go now to another level and to another degree of strength. Even as we go from glory to glory, we must also in this day and hour go from strength to strength. Thank you for your strength upon your people. Strength for living in the last days. We glorify you. We magnify you for it in the mighty one's name, the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Proverbs 18 and verse 14 from the Amplified Version, it says, "The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain," that's physical attacks, "but also any trouble that we may face. But of course, a broken spirit or a spirit that is weakened by circumstance, who can raise up or bear?" Well, we know that Jesus was raised from the dead. So if you have been weakened by life and weakened by circumstance, we have the answer to that question. His name is Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And so last week we talked just for a little while how important it is for us to be in training. And we have the best strength trainer in the entire universe, the Holy Ghost, who lives on the inside. We are called to train ourselves to be godly. We are to exercise daily in God. We had said that there are many things that we are trying to do when we should be in training to do. I'm not going to try to run a marathon because I haven't trained to run a marathon. You may not try to play the violin if you haven't trained to play the violin. Can I hear an amen? And so it's very important that we be in training. This involves a skill of behavior that can be learned or improved through practice and instruction over a period of time. Training denotes consistency. Progress does not come by trying, it comes by training. Your habits and my habits determine our future. And our character is shaped by our habits. See, here's the difficulty. Here's the problem. Sometimes we wonder when we should be working. In this life, we will arrive at our future place either by design, intentionally, or by default because we failed to act. How many of you know that not everything happens to you is beyond your control? We must discipline ourselves day by day. And when we're talking about training, we're not talking about perfection. Jesus is the perfect one. We are complete in him. But listen, folks, when it comes to training, all you need to do is just show up. Keep giving some effort. Give Jesus your heart and put your heart in your walk with God. Gloria Copeland said this, "The secret to our future is hidden in our daily routine. An anointed daily routine produces glorious results." So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at one component of strength training so that we would be enabled to go from strength to strength. Anybody interested? Look with me then at Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. Joshua, the first chapter. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now what I want you to do is I want you to arise. And I want you to go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give you." Pay particular attention to that phrase, "unto the land which I do give you." even to the children of Israel. Verse 3. Read it with me. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Was it important that the sole of his feet treaded upon what had already been given? Just so, it's important for the sole of our foot, if you will, to walk by faith and not by sight, and to tread on the land and the promises that God has given us. Amen? It's important that we believe. It's important that we receive. It's important that we declare. And it's equally important that we act out on what God and step out on what He's given us. Now notice with me in verse 4. He aligns or outlines, if you will, the very land. From the wilderness and this great Lebanon under this great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Read verse 5 with me. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Does that sound familiar? Did he not say that he would never leave you? He would never forsake you. He would never relax his hold upon you. God's grip don't slip. He will never leave you without support. He will uphold you by the mighty word of his power. Next verse. Now notice, I want you to notice in the next few verses the word strong. In verse 6 he says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. So strength then was extremely important for Joshua to be able to go in and possess the land. Amen? And then he says in verse 7, only be strong and what else? Very courageous. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Don't turn it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that your prosperity is connected to you being strong in your spirit. Because there are a million and one things that will tell you there is no way that your need could be met. There's no way that you could get out of debt. There are a million and one lies out there, but for every lie, there is a truth that trumps the devil's lies. At the other end of Satan's lies is a reciprocal truth, and it is Jesus, and it is what his word says. Amen. So, I saw this as I was studying. He told Joshua to be strong. He wanted him to be strong. And God wants you to be strong. But then he gives him a very important component on how to be strong. Notice with me in verse 8. By the way, if this worked for Joshua, it's sure enough going to work for you. Verse 8 says, this book of the law. Now, we don't say that in New Testament terminology. We say the word of God. So, the word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, Joshua, one key to you going in and possess the land is you must get my word in your mouth. But notice here. And he says, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That you may observe to do. In other words, Joshua, as you meditate, I'll begin to open to you some things that you haven't seen before. I will give you Holy Spirit observations, and it will enable you to do what I've called you to do. Woo! That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then he says, for then. For then. When you get my word in your mouth, when you meditate in my word, then, notice what will happen. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You ought to shout about that. Because dealing wisely in all the affairs of life belongs to you as much as it did Joshua.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You'll be able to be prosperous and deal wisely in all the affairs of life. So I want to spend a little bit of time today then talking about what meditation is. Meditation is part of our spiritual training that I believe the Lord wants to take us in. What it is, how to do it. Meditation is so vital. It is what the Bible talks about. It is partaking in a process called the engrafting process, to where you become one with the Word, to where that Word on your lap gets implanted and engrafted in your spirit. James points it out. James 1:21. Notice with me. Ready? Read. Go ahead. And receive the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. How many of you want to get some results? Then we must then partake then in the engrafting process. Part of that engrafting process is laying aside sin and then receiving with an open heart this word which will renew your mind, which will restore your soul, which will affect your mind, your will, and your emotions, and make you whole. To partake of this, we must do our part. Say it to me, I have.
I have a part to play.
To partake, do your part. Now let's talk about meditation. What is meditation? You look it up in the dictionary. Meditation, one definition, is to talk to yourself. Anybody talk to yourself today? Come on, the rest of you need to be honest. I talk to myself all the time. I look in the mirror and say, hey, you're blessed. You're blessed. You're healed. Sometimes I'll face an insurmountable mountain and it looks like I can't do it, but I'll talk to myself and I say, Mark, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Sometimes I feel weak and I'll say, Mark, you know what the Bible says, don't you? The Bible says the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy. The joy of the Lord. What is it? If you want to have a strong spirit, don't be a sad saint. Be a happy believer. Be a glad believer. Serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, shout it with me. He has made me glad. Talk to yourself. It also means to mutter. It means to cogitate. Somebody says, cogitate who? Just a minute. To meditate is an inward and an outward conversation. It means to study. It means to chew over. It means to think over, to ponder, to muse, to reflect, and to mull over. That word cogitate, I like this. Cogitate means to think deeply. It means to think out. It means to think up. It means to dream up. And it also means to hatch. When you cogitate and you meditate, it involves more than your mental capabilities. It involves using your spiritual imagination to take hold of what God has given us in the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In other words, we begin to look at God's Word and think about it and ponder it and cogitate upon it until something happens on the inside.
Amen.
To where we begin to see something. You see, you have two sets of eyes. You can see me with your natural eyes, but you cannot see me with your spiritual eyes. Your spiritual eyes are the real you, or the real eyes that God has given you. Now listen very carefully. This picture begins to develop on the inside of you as the Holy Spirit, who is an artist, paints a picture on the canvas of your heart of your redemptive realities. In other words, you may have looked at verses for years and years, but one day the lights go on. But one day you go from information, come on somebody, to revelation. You go from being informed to getting it on the inside. And when you got it on the inside, they can't beat it out of you with a baseball bat. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, don't misunderstand me. Information is good. It's good to have information. But if all our walk with God is about intellectual information, we're missing out a very important component of our walk with God, which is revelation. If you want to go from information to revelation, there must be some meditation. The Lord spoke to me and through me in the early morning service, and He said this, that meditation is the bridge to revelation. In other words, as you think upon it, as you ponder it, as you talk it, as you mutter it, a picture develops on the inside of you. It becomes more real in here than the very air you breathe out here. Say it with me.
I'm going
from information to the bridge of meditation onto revelation, to revelation knowledge. How many have ever had that happen to you? I mean, it's just, you've been going along one day, you've been doing your very best, but all of a sudden, the lights came on. The lights came on. And you begin to see yourself the way that God sees you. You saw yourself healed. You see yourself out of debt. You see yourself as more than a conqueror. Now, that's why it's so important to pray every day the Ephesians prayers. It is so vital. I want to take us through the Ephesians prayer just for a quick moment today. This is a prayer that I pray for you regularly. This is a prayer that I pray for myself regularly, for my family regularly. You know why? Because I know that I haven't seen everything that I need to see yet. I haven't heard everything I need to hear yet. How about you? How many of you have arrived already? Oh, I know you checked into Heart of the Bay on Facebook. I'm not talking about that. But how many of you have arrived to where you know everything you need to know? None of us have. And that's why praying this prayer is so vital for yourself. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 18 in the Amplified, I want to lead you in this. Let's pray this together. Put your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I'm praying today, for you are the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Father of glory. I pray that you would grant me a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of you. Next verse. I also pray that the eyes of my spirit, the eyes of my inner man, be flooded with light. For the entrance of your word gives me light. Let there be light in my spirit. Enter into my heart. Flood my inner man with the light of your word, with the light of the Holy Spirit's direction and wisdom. I'm going into the flood stage. I pray, flood my spirit with light so that I may know and understand the hope to which you've called me and the glorious inheritance that you've worked for me and the power of resurrection power that is available to me. I receive. Lift your hands and say, I receive. Glory to God. Hey, glory to God. Glory to God. And so here's what I see. Here's what I see. I see you opening your Bible. I see you in your study. I see you on BART. I see you in the marketplace cogitating. I see you meditating. I see you thinking how this affects you. I see you pondering these great redemptive revelations. I see you being a doer of the word. And I see you coming to a point where the lights are on and revelation knowledge is being poured out to you in flood stage. Flood stage. Woo, glory. But here's what else I see. As you meditate, you're not only going to see some things about the verses you're looking at, God is going to open up some add-ons to you. What do you mean, add-ons? I believe the Holy Ghost means those things that have been fenced in and those things that have been hidden, those things you haven't known what to do, where to do it, and how to do it, those things will come to you. As you meditate upon me, saith the Lord, as you meditate upon my holy word, not only shall there be an increase of revelation of who you are and what you have in me, but you will also see next steps that you should walk in. You will also know exactly what to do where you haven't known what to do. It shall be added unto you. Amen. Say it with me. It shall be added to me. Now, this comes as a result of your heart seeking God. Part of meditation is seeking God. In Matthew 6:33, he said, but seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness, and all these what? Things shall be added unto you. Friends, don't limit that to material things. Expand your understanding that things also means spiritual things. I see this happening in my own life. I see myself going into the presence of the Lord and then suddenly, seemingly out of the blue, I know it's not out of the blue, but it's out of my inner man. Things just come to me. Direction just comes. Wisdom just flows. For counsel and wisdom in your heart is like deep water. And as you think upon and dwell upon the Master himself, as you behold his presence, as you love him with all of your heart, expect to see things you've never seen before. Woo! Glory to God. I'm expecting. How about you? I am expecting. I'm expecting direction. I'm expecting greater revelation. And sometimes there'll be some correction. Oh, man. Hallelujah. So meditation also means to chew it over and over. You ever seen cows? They always seem to be chewing on something. chewing on something. My folks had a lake home up in Wisconsin where dairy cows were, and they just chew all day long. They say that cows chew 8 hours a day. The reason why is they ruminate. Cows need to chew things at least twice in order for it to digest properly. Now, related words for chew the cud. Are you ready? Converse, digest, meditate, muse, ruminate. Some of you folks need to start chewing the cud wherever you're at. Amen? Chew the cud. Speak God's word. Speak it in BART. Think about it on the job. I mean, the other day, I'm in a workout facility, and a guy pulls up one of those rugs, and he starts cogitating. But he's not meditating on the master. He's meditating on Allah. And he's praying to Allah. And I'm on the stand-up bike, and someone next to me is making noises. I don't know what he was doing, whether he was singing or whether he was praying. But I figured, if they can pray to Allah, if he can stand over there and sing, I can certainly open my mouth and praise God and cogitate and meditate and ponder. I demand at least equal time. No, not everyone in the club heard me, but Jesus heard me. And not only did it help me go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, but it dispelled the darkness around me. Hallelujah. Listen, folks, you can do this. You can think the thoughts of God. You're thinking on something all day. You might as well think on the right things. See, worry is meditation in the wrong way. Peace is meditation God's way. You're going to use your vocal cords. You're going to use your tongue for something. You might as well use your tongue to praise God. You might as well use your vocal cords to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. Listen, folks, I am a strong believer in you. Why? Because the Father believes in you. The Father loves you. And the Father believes in you. And the Father is just waiting for you to think His thoughts and to speak His thoughts and to act on His thoughts so that your Father can watch over His glorious word to perform it on your behalf. Say with me, my God is watching over His word to perform it in my life. Chew the word. Chew the cud. Doctors say that you should chew your food 32 times before swallowing. What? 32 times? Are you kidding me? I'm usually done with my In-N-Out burger before someone chews 32 times. They say because digestion begins in your mouth where the food is broken up before you swallow. Brendan and I went to dinner with Norval Hayes, great man of God, powerful man of God. We took him over to Skoma's in San Francisco many years ago. And Norval ordered a plate of fried shrimp. And Norval would pick up one of those shrimps and just take a little tiny piece and go like this. Took him 2.5 hours to eat 6 shrimp. Now, I'm a patient man, but I had some calls to make. So I said, Brenda, stay here for a minute. I went outside for about 15 minutes, made some calls, came back. How you doing, Brother Norval? Well, 3 pieces to go yet. It's the truth. Jeremiah says, he said, your words were found, and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I just encourage you to feed on God's word. Don't wait till Sunday to be fed. Come in here well fed. Amen? Well fed. Feed on God's word daily. Chew the cud daily. Declare daily what God's word has said to you. Amen? So faith then comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it has to be digested for faith to come. when you meditate, the word gets in your eyes, in your ears, in your mouth, and then all over your entire life. Now listen, folks, let's be honest about it. When we do this, the air is going to get very rare. What do you mean the air is going to get very rare? What I mean is this. Not everyone is going to want to go and climb this mountain. Everyone's looking for something easy to do. You pray for me. You feed me. I feel like we don't need to be dependent on one another. We need to be dependent on God. And God uses people to bless us and to feed us. Don't misunderstand me. But not everyone is going to partake of what God has provided. But not you. This house. Somebody said, well, Pastor Mark, I came to church and I sang in the choir. And we got all worked up and praise the Lord. The organ was going and we shouted and we glorified God and hallelujah, glory to God. That's wonderful and that's good. But you're not going to be able to take the organist home with you. You're not going to be able to take PT home with you. You're not going to be able to take me home with you. The air is going to get rare. But what do you say? We keep on moving. We keep on ascending. We keep on going higher and higher in the things of God. Now, one thing about going from strength to strength, you will get sometimes to a place of strength before you go to another. Don't worry about it. You know, the folks who climb Mount Everest, they have several places where they camp out. Because they can't go to the top all at once, because if they were, they wouldn't be able to handle it. Amen? Now, we're at the top in Christ Jesus, but how many of you know that there's a growth process that takes place? So as we move higher and stronger in the things of God, we will go from glory to glory and from strength to strength. But don't get down on yourself just because you're not on the top of Mount Everest yet. Are you listening to me? Walk with God. Amen. So meditate then means to speak, to mutter God's word. It's letting it dwell in you richly. Christian meditation is not sitting on the floor with your legs crossed, humming to yourself and emptying yourself out, going, You got to be careful of some of this transcendental meditation stuff. It says, well, hey, don't you know that there's just one power in the universe, and through yoga and through TM, I can connect to the universe. Better be careful. There's other spirits out there than the Father of Spirit, which is God's. Come on, somebody. You need to be careful what you read and who you follow. I am not about to follow someone that is going to lead me down a demonic pathway. Even though they may be good people. How many of you know you can be a good person and be utterly deceived? And so we need to make sure then that we develop the true art of meditation. Which does what? It draws His wisdom. It draws His supernatural strength. And it will produce amazing results for you. Look with me quickly to Psalms 1. Psalms 1. Psalms 1. Says this. Blessed is the man that walketh not where? I'm not going to go get marriage counseling from an unsaved person. I'm not about to go get alcohol and drug counseling from a person that's telling me that it's okay for you to have a beer or a glass of wine every now and then. No. Selah. Now, you probably need to qualify some of that, but I don't have time. Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his, what?
Delight.
His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, does he do what? He meditates day and night. In other words, he chews on Scripture day and night. Now notice the results. And he shall be like what? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth... Notice again the connection between meditation and prosperity. And then quickly go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8. We'll look at that in the Amplified version. Like a tree. That's you. That's me. I'm like a tree. How about you? Planted by the rivers of water. I'm bringing forth fruit in his season. My leaf is not going to wither. I'm not about to burn out. I'm about to burn on. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8. Did you wear your shouting clothes today? He said, most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. What's the result? For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and shall not see and fear when the heat comes. The heat's going to come. But we don't have to fear. We don't have to yield to fear, because we've got our roots planted in the rivers of water. And the way that you plant your roots in the water is through meditation. Goes on to say, but its leaf shall not, but its leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, neither shall it cease yielding fruit. One translation says, you will be serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit every season. Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, I've given you a lot of instruction. And what I want you to do with the information that I've given you, in order for it to go to revelation, I want you to give yourself wholly to these truths and meditate upon them entirely. And he said, as a result, your profiting or your prosperity shall appear before all. Now listen very carefully. In the same way, when a tree is well watered, it's evident to everyone around you. They can see the fruit. They can see that the leaves are green. They can see that God's word is working for you. And you know what? You won't take any credit for it, will you? You'll not have this attitude, well, it was my faith. You know, and I burned the midnight oil. And I'm really something. No, you'll point to Jesus and you'll say, it's all because of him that I prosper. Because I'm living in him and I'm moving in him. For it's in him I have my being. Amen. Glory to God. Lift up your hands and shout glory to God. Woo! Listen, friends, I am talking about results. What's the difference between information and revelation? I'll tell you what it is. It's results. How many of you want some results? I'm looking for some results. How about you? And in closing, turn to me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Paul told, God told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. And he says, meditate upon my word. You'll be able to see how to do it. You'll go in and possess the land. Now notice this in verse 3 and 4. Read it with me, please. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Next verse. Read it with me. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped. My dear brothers and sisters, when you speak the word of God this week, when you ponder on it and you mutter it, you turn it over and over, you chew the cud, you digest it, you dream about all these great and precious promises that are given to you, here's what will happen. You'll begin to draw up divine power and divine strength, and you will be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. Put your hand over your heart and pray this with me. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word that I've been taught today. Thank you for words of encouragement. They're words of life to me. Thank you, Lord. I'll take what I've heard today and I will meditate therein day and night. I receive the engrafted word, and it saves my soul. When trouble comes and heat comes, I shall not be afraid. I shall not be moved. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. And I'm moved by what I see inwardly. Holy Spirit, continue to paint a picture on the inside of my spirit of my redemptive realities. I purpose in my heart not just to be a well-informed Christian, but to be a person who meditates on the promises so I can go from information to revelation. In days ahead, I will see all that I need to see. I will know all that I need to know. Thank you, Lord, for flooding my heart with light. For it's in the light that we see more light. Raise your hands and say, more, Holy Spirit. May there be more. We pray for more. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.